Good to see everyone. Well, we've been on the road a lot, crisscrossing the country, trying to find the next great Falcon player, interviewing them, working them out, assessing them. Dan and I have traveled a lot, as well as Scott Pioli and Steve Sable and a few other people who've done a great job. Our scouting staff has done a great job teeing us up this year. So I think last year I felt that Dan and I were really in stride with where we were as far as what we were needing for this team. I feel like it's exponentially better now as far as our understanding of where we're going and the gaps that we may have and where we need to fill. We thought we did some good things in free agency, and we think we can continue to be creative given what we did do in free agency with how we're going to approach the draft. So let's toss it out. Questions.
Can you all get three starters out of this draft, or is that a realistic expectation?
I mean, I think anytime you go into a draft, you hope you get as many starters as possible, and everyone would love to get seven plus starters out of it. And we we'll see in a matter of years how successful they are. We definitely need contributors. We expect to have contributors. Whether they're starting, whatever the percentage is, we expect big things out of the guys that we bring in at a number of levels. So, Dan, you have a comment on that, too.
I sure do. I think, we're battling to find the right guys and keep competing to see, the right fits and how they go. We've certainly invested a lot of the time in the guys here, and they've invested a lot of time in us, too. So now that we're adding to this group, it's a pretty exciting time to find these guys and see what, when we bring them in, how they're going to fit. And I think that's probably one of the unique connections that we have to say, here's how he'll play, here's how we see him in this spot, battling for this position. And the more we do that, it's a pretty clear vision of what a player can do and then how he'll fit on our team.
Competition is at the root of your program, so you can't really say the rookie's going to automatically.
That's for sure. And for those guys to know that going in, the central theme of the program is to compete, and that's, it's for Thomas and I as well. We're competing, and along with the staff, I think he and his staff have done a remarkable job this offseason. They've added some guys into the mix who have totally made a huge impact from the scouting side of things. So all of us together are competing to find guys who are the absolute right fit for us, and that's what we're intent on doing.
The caveat there is if you move up 21 spots, I think that's probably the difference there. But, yes, exactly.
Thomas, speaking of moving up, you have a history of being active in the draft, and often that means trading up with only five picks. Is this a year where it makes sense to trade down for more depth?
Yeah, we've looked at all the different scenarios, of course, and having fewer picks this year gives us an opportunity. We think the draft has some really good strength from 15 on, as well as the front of the draft. But we think there's some good opportunities, all the way through into the third round. So it does present options to potentially move back. We have been aggressive here since 2008, but not against moving back at all.
Is this one of the deeper drafts that you have been a part of? I mean, many people seem to think that you mentioned 15 on, but even in rounds 2 and 3 and beyond, many people seem to think that it's one of the deeper drafts in recent memories. Is one of the deep ones since you've been here?
I think every year we look at certain positions and we think there's some interesting depth there. And all around, I think there's some really good football players and a lot of numbers in those second and third rounds. That's what we believe, and as a whole. Again, I think it stands up there. I mean, there are some other drafts there that people have talked about, as far as being very good after the fact 3 years later. Obviously, we'll see then. But we're excited about the options that are out there.
Have you already talked some trade down scenarios with anybody?
Not specifically. I mean, I've done my part in inquiring, and this is the time of year I do that, obviously, in calling out to make sure people know that we are, we're open to something like that. That's always important. It's always important to do it now, Yvonne, where we make sure we get the word out now so it's not the day before the draft, because a lot of people start working their deals and thinking about who they want to deal with a lot earlier than right on the clock. So I think it's important to cultivate those relationships and those thoughts prior to.
I think now that the draft's also split into a couple days, it happens a little bit more, and then it's the second day and someone's wanting to get back up into the second round and into that spot. So I think it's not just the first one, it's the second one as well, the second day as well.
With that in mind, have you not really narrowed that list of guys at 17 if you do stay there?
No, we have a number of players at 17 that we feel really good about. And I think that's the interesting thing about this year's draft, that, you know, in the middle of the round, normally I feel like it gets a little bit sketchy where you start wondering, wow, will that player that we're truly targeted on be there? And it feels good to know that we have, you know, a handful of guys that we seriously think can affect this team and be legit contributors in Dan's scheme.
How many?
A handful or two.
Five.
Yeah, it could be five. I don't know. There are quite a few. That's part of the process, right? Not to go into a ton of detail about it, but we're looking at our board and we're stacking the board, and we start, you know, noting who we would consider at 17, who we'd consider at 50, and who we'd consider at, you know, 81, and as well as 115 and 238. But that, you know, you start looking at the front board and you really drill down on the numbers and who we may consider. Changes, of course.
Bring people in, and then you go to visit with the assumption that you like that player. Can I ask how often, when your feet hit the parking lot, do you look at each other and go, no?
It's right after the visit if we do that. And oftentimes there's a lot of research to find out, and we're going there, and I think it's more often we find out and we say, absolutely, for those visits. And then there's a few for sure that come back, and we say, right after, you know, I don't know if he'd be the right fit for us. So, yeah, it's a great question, and one that certainly does. And some of our best discussions are right after the workouts, where it's kind of fresh in your brain to say, mm-hmm. All right, let's discuss it right now. Got done the meeting, got done the workout, and have that interaction. So, yeah, it's a really fun time right after each visit.
I think the spreadsheet to that point might say, and we're in the air, and we're thinking, wow, this is a lot of time, money invested in going out to see a player. And when we do run into that situation, Chris, where we think, no, it was so well worth it, right? Because that's where obviously you could, you know, pull a person off the board and you're thinking, wow, we really didn't dig into this player enough. So
would you say also numbers too? Sometimes you go 17, yeah. 30.
Yes, right.
45, you know.
Yes, right.
That part too. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun going through the whole process. It really is.
Thomas, a lot of people complain that, you know, maybe we should draft more local players. Do you see the analytics of, hey, if we have a Georgia Tech player or a UGA player, if more people show up, does it really matter? I mean, is that something that you guys even consider before a draft?
I don't consider the showing up, the fans showing up, and I mean, consider the fans, obviously. I mean, we want to put the best product on the field. That's the most important thing. As far as the local talent, the simple fact is there's some very good local talent. Obviously, there's some fantastic athletes in the Southeast and in Georgia in particular. So, you know, we continue to look at that. In the past, okay, we've passed on some people from these schools, but we're very aware of what's out there and what we think is the right fit for us. We'll continue to do that this year, but it's not to put more people in the seats because there's a local player drafted or even a local CFA, college free agent, that we bring in. That's not where our head is.
Have you all, after spending a lot on the offensive side of the ball in free agency, are y'all still considering offense in this draft?
No question about it. We did spend a lot of time in free agency and a lot of focus there, and we continue to, you know, spend a lot of time in this draft process focusing on that side of the ball as well. Again, scenarios, we have numerous scenarios when we start looking at who may be there at, you know, 17 and 50. And sometimes it presents itself that may be the best player. I think one of the things we've talked about very quickly is, yes, this is needs-based and system-specific, but we're never lopsided on that, right? We're not just going to go for the need and take a position that, you know, the talent is exponentially less than, you know, another need we have that might not be as strong as that position. We try to narrow that gap and make sure that we're very aware of what we're putting on our team. And if it happens to be an offensive player this year and we think it can help us and upgrade, then we'll definitely consider it.
When you all are doing that BPA/needs analysis, where does the analytics come in, and where does, you know, Coach Quinn and his staff come in, and you know, in that process?
You know, I'm really impressed with you know, our new and budding analytics department here and how we're looking at things, and we continue to grow as far as our approach, and we become more and more intellectual as far as how we're looking at things and presenting things to Dan, and how we sit down and, you know, talk a lot about the players we're looking at and using the comparatives, which is big for our process, right? We're a big comparative team when we start looking at our own players, how they stack against the players that are potentially in the draft, et cetera, et cetera. And in the end, this comes back to what we said, Dan and his staff being very, very clear with what they need at the positions. We can look at all the analytics, but to go to Dan in the end and say, does this linebacker fit our scheme, does this corner fit our scheme, is a very important part of it, more so than what exactly is on the paper from the numerical standpoint. Do you have more comments on that from the –
When you have the whole process, it's really fun, Led, to put it all together. So the analytics is a really good piece. And just like the tape is a huge piece to say, that's the most important piece. And then the other part of, the off-field and the reports that go along with that. So it's one of the most exciting times to put the whole thing together. And that's when we're referencing earlier, like we're competing to find the right fits for the right guys. And so reading the reports, finding the analytics, the tape, everything together, and then you make the decision. So I think it's an important part of the piece. I do.
And the medicals with, Smith is out, and there's a lot of talk about Jack's situation. How do you all, get with the doctors to, medically look at the viability of drafting someone?
Well, I mean, we're obviously particular about that, and there's a lot of information out there, and where we are medically and assessing these players nowadays is so far beyond where we were years ago. I mean, with technologies and such, Scott Pioli and the staff do a great job helping weed through all of that with the medical staff and our athletic performance people to make sure that we have all the information that we need. It's an important thing, as you know. It's not only for the next 2 or 3 years, but we've all experienced it in any organization. Sometimes you think you're going to have someone for 2 and 3 contracts, and it doesn't necessarily happen. So there is a little bit of the roll of the dice at times when you really start looking at these players, because a lot of these players, they've been playing football a long time, and they've been playing hard a long time, meaning they've put themselves on the line. So there's going to be wear and tear on bodies, and that's what we have to be open enough to understand and differentiate between what is a legitimate concern and what is just the regular wear and tear on someone's body.
Yeah, with so much nickel being played,
yep,
we're probably beyond this. What do you play, 4-3-3-4, because it doesn't exist. If you take a guy like Vic and now say he's a linebacker, are there guys in this draft that you look at and you say, positionally, their college roster is going to say this? But quite honestly, they might not be playing that up here at this level, the switch possibility.
Evaluating the defensive line has totally changed in that way. When you go to the college games and look at them and finding them, there's definitely guys in college that are playing linebacker who are blitzing off the edge. Sometimes they're lined out on the slot, but they have the speed and quickness to do it. So we have a big pool. Can he play a linebacker? And then also our Leo spot. So our Sam and Leo, we look at two guys outside connected. And then one of the cool parts about the system is defensive end, Leo, Sam Backer all have a pass rush component to it. So that's always going to stay in the front of our thinking. And so now the Sam linebacker is also a pass rusher, or Leo is, by the way. Can we add some inside guys who provide that kind of pass rush? So it's a really important part of the step, and you nailed it in terms of the amount of nickel that is being played in the NFL, where the pass rush and pass defense in general is really called upon more so than at any other time.
Backers so you can pull back to safety or safeties. Are there guys in this draft that look like you could sort of play that game?
We do have that. So there's some people that we move and say, do they have the potential to be linebacker or strong safety? More so linebacker to strong safety than strong safety to linebacker. We've seen more of those. There's not a handful of oversized safeties that at linebacker. Oh, there's a couple. There's more linebackers, safeties. Can they also move down?
It seems like nowadays that there are more and more opportunities to point out and identify, so to speak, different prospects' flaws. Not sure if it's because of the amount of time that there is between the end of the season and the draft, but how do you go about identifying these prospects and knowing which ones, when you meet them, when you put them through workouts, knowing if that person is what you've heard about, what you've read about? Because some of these guys, you hear that they haven't played hard all the time, but you see there's potential in them. How do you balance how to go, which way to go, which direction you want to go, and how do you weed out those that you think, okay, I don't think we can get the full potential out of him, as opposed to we think that we can get what we're looking for out of this one?
You may start on that?
Yeah.
I think that's the whole art of this whole thing, and finding traits that the player has, and how would we feature and utilize them? And I think that's why it's so important for when you're seeing the scouting, The guys who are out on the road, the scouts, they are at the school. They find out so much personally about the guys. They're at practice. And then the coaches kind of come back in on the end of that process, and the lists have been generated, and they're now going in to look at it and say, these are specifically the things he would do in this system. And so when that connection happens between the scouts, the coaching staff, called personnel and coaching, when you intermix them, that's when kind of all the dialogue, you know, mm-hmm. keeps going to say, this is how we'd feature him, and having our scouting staff be so familiar with our coaching staff and vice versa, the coaching staff be so familiar with the scouting staff, it was an important part of our connection, and that's why it filtered down to the staff. So you nailed it to say, how does this whole process take place? Some guys may have this opinion, or like you referenced, a guy doesn't play hard, or what can he do? And he was in this system in college. He was he played at this school. They were a 34 team, and well, we're not that way. Do they have the traits and the skills to do it? And then we say, man, can we teach him that over and over again? So it's honestly the most, for me as a coach, the most fun part of scouting to see, this is what I think he can do when we get him here. And when you have a vision for that, usually sometimes the player may not even know that. So when we get him here, this is how we see you playing in this system. And we develop you and train you and keep going for it. And that's why, like, there's been a lot of time invested in develop the players that are currently here. And in turn, the players have busted their butt who are currently here and investing back into the coaches and to the scouts. And so it's this big oneness that we have. So it's going to be awesome to add guys to it. So I don't know if I answered your question, but it's honestly, in my opinion, the best part of the draft is finding those fits from what he did at college to what he's going to do onto your team. College scouting and pro scouting, in my mind, are really separate because you're comparing the pro guys to other guys you're playing against. The college scouting, can that guy from this college transfer the skills into the NFL? It's different. And I don't know if you want to add on to that, but long-winded answer, but I think it was a good question.
Good answer. And to piggyback off of Dan, I think about it that way. Think about it as well. We have myriad reports on virtually every player we have. We have psychological assessments. We have reams of information that we look at on all the players that we're truly honed in on, and obviously the coaching evaluation of it and the personnel evaluation of it. So there's a lot involved when we really start focusing on a player. And so it's a really interesting, it's become even more and more of a scientific project and process. And yet, in the very end, we come back to this, and we were talking about it, about a couple players that we start doing the workouts, and we start looking at the psych assessments, and we think, okay, there are a lot of benefits to this player. Then we go back to the video, and in the end, it's about how they played on the field in the very end, where the coaches can look at it and say, this guy's a fit schematically. We love how he is with his competitiveness and his toughness. Flies around. He's urgent. He embodies what we're looking to build here at the Falcons, and let's go forward. In the end, that's what it is about. Not the height, weight, speed as much, obviously, and not all the psych testing that we're looking into and the other off-the-field stuff.
You guys talk. Go ahead.
There was recently a report that surfaced that the Falcons are one of many teams interested in Josh Norman. Can you guys comment on that at all?
You want me to comment?
You can comment, or I can comment.
You go ahead.
I mean, obviously that happened. A lot of people were being mentioned in the reports, and that's not a direction we're going.
Are there certain player agents that you prefer not to be dealing with, or cause pause before you draft a player? Does that play into any part of this at all?
You know, we end up having our relationships with agents. I feel like they've evolved over the years. Used to be a lot more contentious. I think there's a lot more discussion because we deal with them a lot more, and we deal with them regularly. And, you know, your players who are very involved and your star players have relationships, really strong relationships with their agents. So we know how important it is. We know how important it is to have a communicative relationship with them to get deals done and to make sure that you're communicating properly. So are there some that are a thorn in the side? I'm sure they'd say the same thing about me and us, of course. But we feel like, as an organization, our philosophy is to make sure that we are respectful in our approach with them. That's how Dan is as his coach and his staff. That's how Arthur wants us to be, and that's how I believe we should be. It's really interesting, though, how it's changed. There used to be a lot more snubbing between management and agents. It's not that way now as much.
What draft class are you most proud of, and why, in Atlanta?
No, I think, you know, we look again and again at where we are with the drafts and the players, and I mean, of course, we look at it from year to year, but I think there are certain players that we're very proud of, certain players that fit not only on the field but off the field, and that's how we look at it. I don't necessarily hone in on the draft class as much.
So what draft,
you can
class?
Do that.
What
you can do that.
Are you most proud of
What draft pick?
Yeah, one individual player. He says there are individual players. Is there one that you're really like, okay, I put that guy and no one else would look at him?
Which child is your favorite? I would never answer that one.
I'm, you know, look, that's, you know, those are good questions, and obviously we have some really, really cool players
good
on
answer.
This team, and I think, yeah, I mean, there's some really good football players. You can imagine who we're proud of and who personally we think that we did the right thing on, and there are other players out there that we made mistakes on. We don't rehash that. We already talked about that in the spring or in the wintertime, but, you know, there are just some really interesting ones out there that you know you can pull in the fifth and sixth rounds, of course. Against the odds, because, you know, the reality is, you know, the percentage of fourth rounders, for instance, who start in this league, by some of our calculations is 14%. When you have a guy like, you know, Devontae Freeman coming in here and busting it and playing the way he does, those are guys you cheer for as well because they put themselves on the line, right? So, those are fun projects to look at.
You guys laid out your assessments, you know, some of the things that went into your assessment. Can you tell me what maybe has changed, maybe specific, Thomas, what has changed? Because you guys made some staff changes and everything. Are there more guys going into workouts? Are there more guys looking at film? Are there more guys getting coaches giving input? What has changed in the evaluation process?
I can answer from a personnel standpoint, and I'll let Q touch on the interaction with the coaches as well, because I think, you know, they, being the coaches, they've learned our system more. They've learned our approach and our process as far as evaluating and scouting, which is intricate, to say the least, in certain ways. So I think it's been really interesting to watch that learning curve. For us, from a personnel standpoint, you know, again, we've talked about it earlier on, but to have, you know, to have Scott Pioli, to have Phil Emery and Rustin Webster at the, you know, the lead of our personnel staff, being able to communicate within our meetings with the rest of our staff that I think is really good and really solid and focused, is great, because each time we sit down and we discuss players, we're able to talk about, quite honestly, not about all the hits we think we've had, how many times we all learn in here about where the mistakes have been, and we've had an opportunity. Each time we go in there in that setting, it's like a symposium of being able to share some really, really insightful information across the league over many, many years of experience. So I think that's changed. I think the insight that is being imparted to our scouting staff has been invaluable. I think we do have more people, as you saw at some of our pro days around here. We're dialed in on making sure that we cross the T's and dot the I's, which we always have been, but I think with more experience on this staff across the board, I think that's going to be beneficial for us.
From an assessment from the coaching side, after the season, we really made a, you know, not a pact, but a big meeting to say, how can we do this better? And this meaning everything in the program that touches from the coaching side. So it came from our culture, so we redid the locker room. From the specifically on the personnel side, said, how can we connect better with the scouting department as an assistant coach, making sure, like for Phil Emery and the line coaches, and, you know, making sure that connection is like rock solid as a new player coming in. For Thomas to spend time with each individual coach, making sure we're going through and reading reports together and tweaking it to say, what else can we dig to look on? A number of the coaches came on the visits with us this year, and that's, we've had more of that. And so to have that involvement with everybody, I think just the connecting that we've done as a between personnel and coaching would probably be from an assessment of my side that we've worked really hard at this spring.
How many workouts would you guys have done when it's all said and done? How many?
Man, that's a good question.
Private workouts you're talking about?
Yeah, how many workouts?
I would never tell you where, but we probably have over 30. I mean, we've been really aggressive with where we are on top of all the other pro days that we've done and covered. But again, we've been very fortunate that we have an owner that gives us the resources to travel at will, which has been really beneficial. Again, we just landed today from somewhere. Dan and I got back, you know, a matter of an hour ago and raced back up from downtown. So, I knew that was going to be the next question. So,
Coach, to follow that previous question up, entering your second year as coach of the and being in the draft, you find what you're looking for and what you're able to contribute a little more this year. And obviously, it seems like you're a little more hands-on, kind of knowing the club, knowing what to look for this year.
For me, going through this, the second experience, the first time it was ideal in terms of, you know, Thomas and our, you know, connection starting right off. I think now it's gone through the whole organization, you know, where not only do the scouts know myself, the coaching staff well, the coaching staff know the scouting staff that well, going through training camp together, seeing the players, seeing the scheme. It's been really clear. We set out a plan once the season ended about how we can do things better and how would we address certain positions and needs, both in free agency and in the draft. And we kicked that plan off, you know, a few weeks back when we got into free agency, and that thing's still underway. So that's why we're so pumped to get rolling here next week to add to this and add to these guys that are here. We're off to a terrific start with our offseason. And so for the guys that are here now, this is the next step in that offseason program that we, you know, spent a lot of time going through, and now it's time.
You guys talk so much about speed on the defensive side.
Sure.
George O'Leary once said that if you run a 4-5, but if you hit a 5-1, you don't run a 4-5. Can you tell on film what football speed is?
100% you can. And I think it really starts with the burst, because there are so many players that may have a good timed speed, but it's the instincts and it's the quickness that goes along with it. I think it shows up when we're talking specifically on the defensive side. The word get off jumps out to me. You better be able to jump off the ball, but that's also an instinct. When's the ball kicking off? It's not taking off when you want to take off. We play a lot of zone on defense, so it's that initial burst for like 5 yards. How fast can I close to absolutely have the most contact, you know, on the ball carrier that I can? So that doesn't necessarily transfer into a 40, but at certain positions, a 40 matters more so than others. So you're not going to say at a, you know, at guard, oh geez, what are we going to do? You know,
right.
But at corner, you might do that. So, oh geez, what are we going to do? So, it's the speed that you play with that totally shows up. And, man, I love it when you see it too. And it just captures you. You feel it. And then you go back and say, he plays even faster than that time speed. Or there's oftentimes it's not quite what that speed shows. He ran a 4-4, but he's not playing at a 4-4. And it's those unique players that play to their speed. That's usually the guys that jump out to you a lot.
The other expression is running through a guy. When you watch a guy who wants to end up on the other side of him, are there a ton of those guys, or are those guys kind of different and special?
I think they're different and special. The guys who arrive with bad intentions in terms of tackling, the physicality that they bring, it totally jumps off on tape with you. And that's why it's important to go through, like, a number of games. And so Thomas and his guys, they'll go through, you know, if you're really into a prospect, man, you got to go through the whole season. And you find, let's find all the tackles, and let's go through all the clips as opposed to, you know, a 3 or 4 game breakdown. So it's honestly one of the things that I love about my job in the scouting side of it, is getting to find these guys that you think have it. And then you identify it and say, man, that would be awesome for this guy to be, you know, on our team. So as you're going through it, you definitely look for those traits. If you're going to be tough, it's going to show up on tape. And for most time, I've said to the players, I see better than I hear. So by that, I'm saying put it on tape.
On that, especially with guys like Deion Jones, who really only have had 1 year starting of game tape, how much more difficult is it for you to evaluate players like that as opposed to a player, you know, who has a couple more years of more game tape and taking more snaps?
As long as they have the amount of reps, even if you may not have started the year prior, but you played, you know, 500 snaps, 600 snaps, that's a factor that you for sure go back and look in. So although you may have only started at some positions, you play a lot anyway. Now, if you might have been a quarterback who doesn't rotate in and doesn't play a lot, that's a big factor. But for the other players, it's like having those exposures to see that makes the biggest difference. That's a great question.
When you guys bring these players in for workouts, it's a good chance to get to know them as people. Walking around with them, just talking, what kind of traits are you hoping to see?
Really, we are very upfront when we sit with the guys, say, like, competition is the central theme in our program, and we want them to fully understand, like, being part of this organization, like, that's what we're striving to do, is to find great competitors, not just us competing against one another, but yourself, your team, all the guys, to bring that. Can you add to the competitiveness of our team? Past that, all sorts of questions to get to know guys. When they're here, you know, in our building and part of us, you know, it's for a long extended time, and we get the whole day together, and it's an awesome part of it.
Where's cornerback on the priority list with the fact that Jalen's going to be suspended for the first 4 games? Where does that stand, and
you know, with that situation. I'm sure you guys want him to be a contributor.
For sure. I think
eventually.
There's, yeah, like two positions that will probably always say, you know, keep coming, and it's pass rushers and corners, pass rushers and corners. Because I think that part of our game, Vaughn, isn't changing. And when you're really, you know, at your best, there's going to be a number of guys who play at that spot. So it's an important position for sure. We like the guys with the speed and the length, but it doesn't mean you have to be, you know, sub 4-4 just to play in the system. That's not what we're saying at all. So it's certainly a position that we love evaluating and looking at.
You mentioned your plan after this season and now what you've accomplished through free agency. I know you don't want to fit yourself into a hole where you're drafting only for need and bypass a better talent, but is there a position or two left where you definitely want to address in one of these five picks?
Want me to take that?
Sure.
In the first five picks, you said, or the first pick? Of course. I mean, yeah. No, I think that's good. Well, no, we there's no question. I mean, we again, I just want to stress how I feel like it's we really direct and well thought out as far as where we think these guys are projected to go. And which one of the things we haven't talked about is the pro personnel side is very involved right now in helping put together the needs charts for us to project where other teams are going. So if we are looking for, you know, a receiver and we're up in 10 picks, we have an idea through our pro staff where, you know, the 10 teams before us are picking potentially. We don't know exactly. But that's a big part of our projection as well, whether we're able or not, whether we decide we want to move up 8 picks to get, you know, Trufant when we did. We were concerned that Minnesota was going to move up and take Trufant. They ended up taking Xavier, et cetera, et cetera. So those are really interesting puzzles that come together that we don't talk a lot about, and that's the importance of the pro department being involved in and helping us get to a spot where we can accomplish what you're asking, and that is to satisfy our wants and needs. And when you see every once in a while, you see that player that's really special, as Dan was alluding to earlier, actually directly stating about, you know, those guys that have everything that he's looking for as a player, the passion, the fire that competes. That's where it gets a little bit unruly because you sit on the edge of your seat waiting for it to happen, and hopefully that player gets there where you're able to pull him off the board.
Last question.
Are you up to 30 visits? Do you have 100% participation in all season program?
You go first.
Yes, right. On the 100% participation.
Right. Are you at 30 going over?
We're not going over. We won't be illegal. No. We're right around there. We always honestly keep a little bit of a buffer at the very end.
Okay.
But we've been using some of that buffer. I mean, this is a really neat time of the year, quite honestly. That's probably not the right word to use, but it is, because everyone starts really honing in. Even our coaching staff is digging in on some of the lower level CFAs, and we encourage our guys, personnel and coaching, to come to the table with the one or two guys that really catch their attention, like they would really want on this team. It doesn't matter what the grades are. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. What steps out in their mind and stands out in their minds and allow them to step up and present that to us. That's an interesting time of the process, too.
Sure. Sure.
Do you have any interest at all in Easley? You know him well.
Yeah, I know Ease terrifically, and he is a fantastic competitor and honestly a guy that I have great history with. So we've talked since he's been released, and we'll kind of leave it for there, but nothing to report as of today. But, yeah, someone that I think the world of.
Thank you, guys.
Before we go, I think it's only appropriate with heavy hearts that we recognize Prince today, who passed and was around for a lot of good times in a lot of our lives who are sitting here today. So rest in peace.
Right on.